Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood alongside John Paul Basham.
Yo.
Thanks for taking the time to listen, stream, download, visit the website, or do whatever you have done to get this podcast into your ears. We appreciate the time that you spend with us every single week. We know there are a ton of podcasts you could choose, and we're super thankful that you would choose ours. Because you've chosen to listen to this student ministry podcast, I want to encourage you, ask you, even plead a little with you to leave a rating and review on iTunes. It helps other people find the podcast and get their student ministry dose in their ears as well. So we would appreciate if you did that. Sometimes we read them on the air like we're going to do with this one. So we want to say thank you to, I don't know how to say, Amago1007. A-M-A-G-O-H. Amago1007. Thanks for leaving a 5-star rating. This person says, excellent content from seasoned and gifted student ministry leaders and guests. I can take away something helpful from every episode. Thanks for investing each week to help better student leaders. That's why we do this.
That was a very kind review. Thank
Absolutely.
You for that.
So we're super thankful. That is why we do this. Zeke G2, thanks for the 5-star review. Zeke says, this is the real deal for student leaders. You'll get something out of every episode. So we're super thankful to have this opportunity. We wouldn't have this opportunity without you listening. So
that's right.
Thank you so, so much. And we try every single episode to plan something that that you'll love, that will help you, that will encourage you, that will challenge you. And we want to get better every time. So let us know how we can improve. You can always find us on Twitter at Ben Trueblood, at John Paul Basham. We would love to talk to you about student ministry outside the podcast as well. Today, we're going to be talking about discipleship, specifically how people grow. So there's a book we want to recommend to you that we're going to kind of be doing summary of here on this podcast. I hope what this does is pique your interest to go find the book and check it out and read it. There's going to be a ton more that you'll glean from that book than just what we'll cover on the podcast. But we wanted to talk through some of the main points of a book called Transformational Discipleship by Geiger, Kelly, and Nation. So this is a book that is an excellent view of how people grow. It's based on a 10-year-long study of research. And we're going to talk through some of the results of that research and some of the results of the book in looking exactly how people grow. Now, here's one of the disclaimers I want to give at the very beginning. We want to recognize and affirm the truth that discipleship is not a one-size-fits-all conveyor belt process.
Yeah.
Okay, so some of the things that we're going to talk about, we're going to make general blanket statements, principles that would apply broadly, but you need to understand our view of discipleship right out of the gate is that it is an individualized process where people walk specifically with other people. It's not a conveyor belt. It's not a one size fits all. But I do believe there are broad principles that can apply that we can walk away with and then say, okay, in our individualization of discipling someone else, what are the broad principles that we need to have in play? And so with the very first one, again, this is based on research from the book Transformational Discipleship that we would encourage you to check out. Number one is that discipleship is intentional. Discipleship is intentional, meaning that people grow when they set their minds on Him, when they fight sin, and when they engage in spiritual disciplines. Now, again, that's straight from the book, right? People grow when they set their minds on Him, they fight sin, and when they engage in spiritual disciplines. So here's another way I would say this. People don't accidentally become disciples. People don't passively become disciples. A person has to be prompted by the Holy Spirit to pursue Jesus and the life that He's meant for us to have. So similar to the way that if you were to stand in a river, you don't naturally go upriver. You don't naturally drift into discipleship, and your students don't either. So you, when you think about, I need my students to be discipled, just saying, I want to disciple teenagers is not good enough. It's not clear. It's not actionable. It doesn't get you anywhere. There are processes and things that you have to put in place in order to achieve the goal of discipling teenagers.
Yeah. Even just making sure that all of your students are in a small group isn't going to be enough to make sure that all your students are being discipled. And there's a lot of ministry leaders that when asked the question, you know, what are you doing to disciple your students? They'll say, oh, we have Sunday morning small groups. They're all plugged in. And that's something that we really emphasize. Yeah. I would say that congratulations, that is good to have them all plugged into a small group. That's just the beginning of understanding Christian community. And it's just the tip of the discipleship iceberg.
Yeah. And here's what's great about the rest of these things that we're going to dive into is that you can build your small group structure to have each one of these elements taking place inside of that structure. Right. So we would both tell you that small groups are the discipleship engine of your ministry. Like that is,
yep.
Discipleship can happen in a sermon from the stage as a student is at home with their Bible. Yes, all of those things can happen. But learning to walk as a disciple of Jesus happens best in the context of a small group because it's an environment that you can make sure all of these things found from research actually do take place.
So one of the most important elements inside of that small group experience, understanding that it can't just be the checkbox, yeah, my students are in a group and I'm just going to let them cruise control into transforming into being holy as he is holy. One of the things that has to be there is a leader that understands that transformation occurs where truth, posture, and leaders converge. And so the statement out of the book says, when godly leaders apply the truth of God to people while they're in a teachable posture, transformation is likely. Leaders help navigate the journey.
Yeah. So your students, you even, are in and out of life postures where you're more ready to hear from God. It could be something that tragic happens in your life. It could be something that amazing that happens in your life. It could be for a student breaking up with a boyfriend or girlfriend after a certain period of time that puts them in a posture more ready to hear from God. You and your students come in and out of these postures all the time. And John Paul, you're right on it. It takes a leader who understands that and knows the teenagers in his or her group well enough to be able to spot when they're in that posture and then to deliver God's truth to them in that moment. Because when we can hear from God at any time, but when something happens, it puts us in a place where we're more likely, when it's not just a regular Tuesday and there are other forces, other considerations outside of our normal life, that's when the moments that are there and yeah. We're ripe to hear from God in a different way.
And that's something that you're going to have to train your leaders to see and know how to act on. Right, I think a lot of times when there's tragedy in a student's life, a leader can sometimes be intimidated, not really knowing how to engage. You know, how should I speak to this? Do I reach out? Do I not? Or the worst case scenario is the leader's not even connected enough to know what's going on in the student's life.
That's right.
And so teaching the leader to be engaged at a level and making sure that you have a leader that cares enough to really know what's going on in the life of the student and then how to look for those opportunities to speak in is key to this discipleship puzzle.
Yeah, and you mentioned the third one that research found as a part of this, and that's when tragedies happen in people's lives, it puts them in a posture to grow. They serve as catalytic moments for growth. And, you know, we live in a fallen world. And because we live in a fallen world, there are tragedies all around us.
Yeah.
You know, as we're recording this podcast, it is pretty soon after the school shooting in Florida that saw 17 teenagers killed. That's a tragedy in our world. And it's sin-filled, and it's wrong, and it's heartbreaking. At the same time, there is still God. Mm-hmm. And teenagers are going to have questions. Adults are going to have questions right. about how those things can happen. And it's in those moments when we're careful listeners before we're talkers. And it's in those moments where God's truth graciously and rightly applied can be a moment where someone takes a step closer to God in their relationship with Him.
And I think it's important to really coach well here, because I think some people may say, oh, well, this just kind of sounds manipulative. Like we're waiting on this tragic moment to launch in there and say, oh, but Jesus, you know, and this is not a race necessarily to convert students at any cost, like a salesperson waiting for the right moment to jump into the conversation.
That's,
that's not what this is. But as students, as anyone, as any of us are going through truly hard times in life, we all find those questions being asked in our own hearts and minds. Like, why did this happen? Why is this going on? Why is this happening to me? What am I supposed to do with this? How do I react to this? And it's then that we want to be able to lead people to the truth of Christ, because that will provide not only answers, it won't only provide a path for them to grow closer to the Lord, but it provides peace that only the Word of God can provide for that person in the midst of that hardship.
Yeah, that's right. And I think your caution is so needed, because the last thing that we want to do as Christian leaders and as people who influence other people, leaders of small groups, of students is to say right away, well, you know, God works all things together. You know, your family member that just died from cancer, you know, God's going to work. Come on. Like, we believe the truth, right? Like we believe that passage, but listening and being sensitive to the guiding of the Holy Spirit will tell you when to apply the truth to someone's heart and when to listen. And when to just hug, and when to just sit with someone who is hurting. Mm-hmm. Because it's oftentimes in this moment when someone's in that posture, that just being with them as the body of Christ is just as powerful as the moment when God opens a door for you to deliver that truth. It's the unity that we experience as part of the body. Yeah. And I think far too often, we do see it as the salesman moment, and maybe not with the goal of being the salesman, but to try to help, you know, like there's a righteous motivation there. I want to try to help. I want to give this passage. I want to speak this truth, but be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in that, and know, especially in times of tragedy, know when to listen and when to speak.
Yeah. The fourth one on the list is that reading the Bible matters more than anything else. Every research project we've conducted leads us to this conclusion. It is the biggest predictor of spiritual growth.
Yeah, and that's probably not surprising to you as a listener at all, that reading the Bible is the biggest predictor of someone growing in their faith.
But I think it is sometimes a temptation for age-graded ministries that are looking for how are we really, you know, what's going to be the hook to get students in here? How am I going to get more students in the door? How do I make this more compelling to be in this ministry than the one down the road? And I think sometimes it's easy for us to drift away from that central conviction that reading the Word has to be the foundation of everything that we do.
Yeah, even to the point of, in your groups, we want you to talk about God's Word, and we've given you some scripture, but, you know, don't dive too deeply, because we don't want them to get bored, or we don't want, if they get bored, they won't come back, or don't dive too deeply in this because they can't grasp the concepts yet. It really should force you to rethink all those kind of statements, if those statements are in your mind, because the greatest thing that could happen when a student leaves your ministry is that they read God's Word. Yeah. If that has been accomplished, if they have a consistent, ongoing time in God's Word, that is what success looks like. Because that's something that they're going to take from your ministry. All the fun, all the glitz, all the bells and whistles that added to that experience, they won't find that in college.
Yeah.
But what they can find is their Bible.
Yep.
So the fifth one goes exactly into what we've been talking about over and over and over, is that, groups matter a lot. Because you can have all of these same things function in a group. So, Ben, why are groups so important? Why would you say a group is more important than a sermon? Well, because in a sermon, all of your students can't individually talk with a leader who has been living with Jesus longer than they have to download questions and concerns and thoughts that they have about the message. Yes, Jesus can speak through your sermon, and he does all the time. I hope prayerfully that hopefully he does that, and people are saved and people take steps in their relationship with Jesus. But that moment of discussion where, again, a leader knows a person and is able to speak to them about where they are in their lives and ask questions, it also allows peer-to-peer growth together. It teaches your students at a young age what it means to be believers that are next to other believers, that are in the buzzword, in community.
Yeah.
But that's really what it teaches.
Yep. So the next one, generosity is a result of and contributor to maturity. And I think this one is a really interesting one, because they're showing generosity here in the research to be almost a metric of how deep in discipleship someone is. And I don't remember who it was that said we need to stop counting disciples and we need to start weighing them.
I think that's a Robbie Gallaty.
Is it a Robbie?
He may have got it from somewhere else, but I've heard him say it.
So a lot of times you wonder, how do you weigh a disciple? And some of it is just being able to look at the people in your ministry and see what is the fruit of their life. What are they compelled to do now, maybe that they weren't compelled to do before? And in student ministry, it's not like, I don't know, maybe some student ministries do have a tithing record of their students. I never did. But generosity in students is going to look a little bit different.
Yeah.
How do they want to spend their time? How are they interacting with their friends in a different way than they were before? How excited about missions are they? Generosity will often look like service and compassion for the people around them in student ministry. And that is a real measure of where they are in their walk.
Yeah. And I think the same thing can be said for adults and for the leaders that you have in your ministry. So if you're wanting leaders who make disciples, then obviously you're going to want to look for these things in the leaders that you're putting in charge of groups. Like, you want them to be reading the Bible consistently, because that's what matters most in the formation of a disciple. If you don't have leaders who are on this process of transformation and becoming disciples more and more, then they're not going to make disciples themselves. At some point, they're going to reach that lid. And because they're not growing, they're not going to be able to have people under them that are growing. And so with generosity, man, tithing should be the baseline of that.
Yeah.
Right? And then what are the other visible things that is a person that is being generous as somebody that you put in leadership in your student ministry?
So one thing that you and I have both done in putting together leader covenants for people that wanted to come on board and serve as small group leaders in our ministries is that we had a requirement that they sign their name to. And this was in a list of requirements, but kind of one of the standards was that a leader tithes. If they want to be a teacher of a small group, that they were actively tithing to our church. How important do you think that is as a qualifier for small group ministry?
I think it's should be 100% qualifier. Number one, it's an obedience issue.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to be a part of a church and you're going to identify with the body, then I think you need to be a giver at the baseline.
Yeah.
It would be the same thing as, like, I think student ministry leaders should be in worship at the church.
Right.
You know, like, just coming and teaching and then going home, doesn't cut it because they're not submitting themselves under the pastoral leadership of the church, and they're not buying into the full direction. And a lot of times, man, that tithe, yes, it's an obedience issue, but it also, it can be a checkbox, which is why I think generosity goes beyond that. But a tithe oftentimes shows whether a person supports the vision and mission of the church.
Yeah.
Now, you'll have believers who are super strong that don't support, but tithe because it's obedience.
Yeah.
And that's okay too, right? But I think it should be 100% qualification for people to be able to serve.
Yeah, I totally agree.
To lead a small group. You can have stages of people in your ministry, like your dude that comes and runs the grill for your tailgate party or event that you do. Man, that might be a newer believer that's an adult that's wanting to be involved, or longtime believer that's just now starting to get the idea of serving. And they might be in a different place in their own discipleship journey. And that's a place that they can serve. But leading over a group and charged with discipleship of a group of teenagers, I think you got to have a solid line right there.
Yeah, it's just another place for it. You're trusting that person to be the example for the students around the table.
Yeah.
So those check marks that you identify that you want your small group leaders to commit to need to be those markers of Christian maturity and commitment. If they're going to be the example, then you better make sure they're a good example.
Yeah, that's right. The number 7 and the last one that we'll talk about, again, from the book Transformational Discipleship by Geiger, Kelly, and Nation. Be sure to check that out. It's a couple years old. Man, solid, solid book on this stuff. So the 7th one, there is a deep connection between discipleship and mission. Again, this is how people grow. There's a deep connection between discipleship and mission. So the more time you spend in God's Word, the more generous of an outlook you have, the more time you spend with other believers, that leads to your faith moving from those environments to actionable tasks, to going on mission in your community, to going around the world, to tell your story, to, as we're told, go make disciples. The more you mature in your faith, the more of a desire you're going to have to go make other disciples.
Yeah, and this is just it's like we talked about with the last one. It's such a great way to measure or weigh the progress of your students. And what's really cool is to be able to track. I don't know, for a little while we had a requirement that before a student could go on an international trip, they had to go first to some local service projects that we would do in the community. And that was a prerequisite to a domestic trip. And then once they had gone through those and all of the training that came with those, then they could apply to go on an international trip. And so often you can see the way a student progresses in their faith journey as they walk through all the training and they walk through all the service opportunities and through all the domestic mission trips. It's such a strong training ground. And by the time they're ready to apply for that international trip, you often have a very different student applying for that international trip than you did for, you know, cutting the widow's grass down the street from the church.
Yeah. And it's a fun, like, that's a fun transformation to watch.
Yeah.
So we want to end this podcast with this one last quote from C.S. Lewis. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christs. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons are simply a waste of time.
Strong words from C.S. Lewis.
Yeah. Draw men to Jesus, disciple them, help see them grow. Hopefully these 7 things will be tools for you. Check out the book, Transformational Discipleship. It will help you a lot, and we will see you next time on the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast.